podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is the Talking Tactics Podcast. My name is Daniel.
I'm Half Hope.
We do the podcast every Tuesday. Remember to follow us on the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. All the links are in the description. If you're listening on Spotify, give us a follow. If you're on Apple Podcasts, subscribe. It's free. Leave us a 5-star review, and we will read it on the show. We're on Patreon, so remember to check that out. You'll get your extra sometime soon. I don't know what it's going to be about this week. Yeah, where can people find you online on the internet?
Why do you always come to me the moment I take a bite? It's literally like the worst timing. Like, literally, you going to me the moment my teeth made connection with the bread. Halfoffootballhalf.com. That's where you can find me.
I don't know why you eat while you do the podcast. I just don't understand.
No, because it just helps my brain function better. So.
Got you. All right. I'm at Daniel Taluk. Shout out to Carl at The Athletic.
Mm.
Keep an eye out. Yeah, there's no obvious place to start this week. It's an FA Cup. So, you know what? Let's start with questions, and let's see where the questions lead us. Do you feel good about that?
Yes, you know, do something, a new tact.
Yeah, so this first question.
Because we have to talk about Hazard. I don't know whether, did someone send a Hazard question about his injury?
Yes, someone did talk about Hazard. Okay. Can HH start calling Daniel DT from now on?
What?
People do call me DT every once in a while, like in regular life, if they know me. Mm. But in the kind of internet football space, I feel like DT's kind of taken by Arsenal Fan TV DT.
Yeah.
So it doesn't quite make sense. So no. My mama named me Daniel. You can call me Daniel.
And you still don't like Danny T?
It's just it's the Danny part. I've never liked being called Danny. No, do you know what? Do you know why? It's because
not,
it feels
it's not just
fake.
Danny. It's no Danny T. It's like a whole thing because it just flows better because Daniel T sounds and then so just sounds too. Look, this isn't like Daniel. This we are here to talk about. No, it's freaking football. It's guys trying to get the ball into the freaking fishnet.
I don't like Dan. I don't like Danny. I just don't like the sound of it. I don't know.
Danny
it's,
T.
It's
not
like
just
childish.
Danny T.
I can't get over it, but it is what it is. And what happened to the Chelsea football manager thing? There is enough time to get it done, but we're two different people trying to do different things in the time that we have. So Half Hope does a lot of live streams and does a lot of stuff. I'm doing my own thing. So linking up is difficult to do an extra thing on top of what we're already doing. But we haven't forgot about it. So
And also, there is no Champions League or Europa for this week and next week. So
Yeah. It's international break. You'll see us. And the conceit is gone. Because we started it, like, can we do this better than Lampard? But Chelsea decided there's no point in even thinking about that question. Let's get rid of him. Let's bring in Tuchel. Now, can we manage Chelsea better than Thomas Tuchel, who hasn't lost in, like, weeks? I don't know about that. So that's just the first question. That's just some housekeeping, I suppose. Matt the Barca boy. Will we see a Hazard redemption at the Euros?
He's going to have surgery. It's going to be very unlikely. After the surgery, he's going to have the match fitness and sharpness needed to be part of that squad. Now, you could just take him because he's Hazard and you know the ability that he has, but it's a massive risk. And if it was me and there's somebody else who could perhaps take his place that could do something, because it's psychological as well. Okay, let's say surgery is successful. It's all good. Hazard doesn't have the same kind of mentality that Ronaldo had in 2002. Ronaldo was like, boom, I'm a man here on a mission. Hazard, man, I think the injury has just completely ripped his mentality apart, bro. So super, 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 super unlucky, brother.
If I were the manager of Belgium, I think Roberto Martinez still, I don't know if I take him because it could be just kind of more trouble than what it's worth. And if you're thinking about the World Cup to come, perhaps giving him a summer off rather than putting another competition in his lap would be better. Because what happens if he gets injured in this competition? Because Real Madrid is obviously going to play him next season. So maybe it would be better if he had just don't play any football, get as fit as you can, and then start next season with a new slate. Giving him another competition and then whatever that will do to his Real Madrid preparation for the 2021-2022 season ahead of the World Cup, I think that could be quite dangerous. So just pragmatically, I don't know if I'd take him based on that risk. That doesn't even take into account the fact that you don't deserve to be in the team.
Mm.
You've scored one goal in a year, two goals in a year. Why are you coming other than the fact that your name is Eden Hazard? Like, you wouldn't be. So one, he's taking a spot from somebody who's obviously playing better, who's in better shape, who's in better fitness. So I just think it would be wise to just let him have this summer off. Get back to as good as you can be, looking to where you're, 31. And then we can talk about 2022 when we get there. But I think they'll probably take him just because of who he is. He's the nation's captain.
If the surgery is successful and he is sort of fit, much fit, I really don't know. This isn't the same as, let's say, Neymar, Messi, yeah. Cristiano, where like even if they're half fit, you still have to take it just based on what they mean and on what they've done. For Hazard, I don't think he's earned that kind of reputation to have that. So look, if Martinez, let's say he's fit and so forth, and Martinez doesn't take him, that'd be a big call. But then as big as a call it is, you'd understand.
Yep.
So it wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, because it's a situation where even if he's fully fit, I don't think Hazard will make that much of an impact. Because I think Hazard himself, he knows that, yeah, I think I'm pretty much done. And one of Hazard's biggest weaknesses is that he's not very strong mentally. Like, he doesn't have that kind of alpha edge kind of character to himself. So these injuries, injury after injury after injury, and you just hear about, you look at the details of the injury and so forth, and it's such a rare kind of injury. It's like, bro, come on, man.
If we're honest, Belgium would like Hazard, but I don't think they need him.
They need Hazard.
You have Lukaku, you have Carrasco, you have De Bruyne, you have Mertens. They need Hazard. They have enough attacking talent, I think. Even his brother. Like, there's enough there to where you can have a deep run. I don't think Belgium are favorites to win the competition, even if Eden Hazard was fully
fit. But it depends what you want, though. Like, do Belgium want a deep run or do they want to win it? Belgium have a team good enough to win it. 100%. They have a team good enough to win it. So if they want to win it, Hazard at his best can make them win it. Without Hazard, they can do a deep run. Without Hazard, they can't win it. No
way. But you're thinking of like Eden Hazard circa 2018. Like that World Cup version of Hazard and then what we saw with Chelsea the next season. Of course, he could win you a Euros.
Mm.
But the one that we saw at Madrid even before this last major injury, he's not doing anything.
Oh, no. Hence why I said the reality is Belgium are not winning this Euro, that they're not in the conversation of winning it.
That's why I wouldn't risk it. That's why I'd just save him and just kind of maybe bank that in a year, if everything goes well, that Eden Hazard could help Belgium in its like last throw to win an international competition with all of the players that they have at their peak.
To be honest, in
their last like prime,
To be honest, I think Belgium's time was at 2018. Because if they had beaten France, they beat Croatia in the final.
They beat Croatia, yeah.
So I think because they didn't do it in 2018, I just think that they've missed their boat. Because by 2022, yes, Lukaku is there and so forth, but Mertens will now be a lot older now because he's already deep in his 30s. De Bruyne is already approaching that kind of.
Did you watch the game on the weekend though? Napoli against Roma. He had a good free kick. There was a great team goal that they had. I was watching Lyon PSG and Napoli Roma. They came on at the same time. So I'd missed the Spurs game because Spurs Villa was... There was like four games really because I think Barca was playing Sociedad as well. So I had to pick which two. I can't watch three games at once. So I had to pick the two. So I could have tried. I could have gone TV, laptop, iPad. But I was like, nah, that's just too much.
You can't watch three matches. That's impossible. No one can do that.
Even two. Two for me is kind of hard.
Very hard.
Because I get stuck. I was watching PSG Lyon. Like, that was my game. I was like, Lyon can maybe do something. But then in the background, I was like, oh, Mertens free kick. And then like, oh, I missed what happened.
Which is why when we get to the Champions League talk, that is why it's going to be very difficult when you look at the games they have at the same time. It's like, bro, that's messed up.
What were you saying? Mertens is old, De Bruyne is...
Yeah, I mean, look, I just think that they've missed their boat, you know. Their time was 2018.
Well, they don't have to. I guess that's going a bit too far.
I don't think they will. I don't think they will.
The team that they had, they should have won something. Maybe 2016 Euros was too soon. 2018 World Cup, okay. But it's the idea, like, they... Here's what it is. They had to win something with Kompany. And they didn't. They had Kompany, Alderweireld, and Vertonghen. Those three center backs, they could have come up with a system around those three with Courtois behind. They never had the wing backs or the full backs to get anything done, I don't think. You know, they were playing Lukaku's brother. I don't know if Meunier was out there yet. I don't think so. But, yeah, the midfield of... You know, Dembele, Witsel. Like, they had a good team. It's just, I guess they were too young compared to, you know, France or Portugal or whatever it was. So, but you just look at the team. I'm just like, they should have won something. But maybe you're right. Also, the coach that they gave it to, what was that guy's name? Wilmots?
Oh, yeah, Wilmots, yeah.
Who is this? I know he went to Ivory Coast. Struggled there, then left or something like that. So
no, but I think he was like he had like a lot of caps for Belgium. Like a Belgian legend.
Put it this way: if you put like Fernando Santos in that Belgium team, I bet you they win something. If you just put like a good man, like a top manager in that team, and then they went from an attack minded manager to an even more attack minded manager. And Roberto Martinez, they didn't do like, you know, offense, defense.
Yeah.
They should have done that. That's why I'm thinking about Santos. Like, that would have been better just to bring solidity to the team. But they didn't go that way. They went with like, you know, Swansea, Wigan, Everton, that type of attacking football. You didn't need that. You needed somebody to make it solid and let the attacking players do what they did or do what they do. Anyway, keeping with the international theme. FBPE is just white people's Hotep at Jax 365.
What?
I don't know. But that's his Twitter name. So Wenger, the FIFA president advisor, wants to change the footballing calendar. Now we need to take a moment because I think this is going to be a lot to think about. He wants to start the season in March and end it in November. World Cup will be played in November too, and played every 2 years. Do you think European football will accept this? So right now the season starts in August and ends in May, generally, or June-ish. He wants to change it to have the break that we normally associate with the summer. He wants to make that the winter. So we start in March and end in November. And then November, December, January, February, those are the months off instead of May, June, July. And then in those winter months, that's when you play World Cup, Euros, AFCON, Copa America, etc.
Stupid.
I'm not against it. I'm just against the idea that you play the World Cup every 2 years. I don't think you should change the calendar.
First of all, that's I'm fully against, because I like every 4 years because it increases dud. But I'll tell you why. Because first of all, think of the consumer, the audience, the fan.
Yeah.
When do you normally go on holiday?
Summertime.
The summertime.
But the summertime isn't the summertime everywhere. So like in Europe, the summertime is
June, July, August.
But if you're in Southern Hemisphere, it's different. So as the FIFA advisor, he has to think about the whole planet, right? Not just Europe.
Oh, cool. Yeah, great. But let's keep it real. most of the world are in the
Northern Hemisphere. Man just disrespected the whole Southern
Hemisphere. Yeah. No. Most of the world are in the Northern Hemisphere, and most of the world have their summer
in June, July, August. Is that true? Are we sure about that? Okay, you're right.
I don't need to check. This is a fact. So most of the world who are football fans and watch football are in the Northern Hemisphere, have the summer in June, July, August.
Sorry to all our Australian listeners.
Yeah, man. So, big up Eddie. Yeah. Apologies, bro. I'm free the Aborigines. So the thing is, when you now look at November, December, January, and so forth, what the heck are guys supposed to do? It's winter. So during the winter times and everything, there's literally nothing to do because there's no football, there's no football season. So the whole point of the summer tournament is it's played when the weather, you would say, is at its best. Because what's it called? August is when you really get the peak of the summer in most of these countries.
Yeah.
So June, July, generally Northern Hemisphere is when, but we're like really entering the summer. So if you're not going to change that to it's raining, it's cold, it's windy. So you may even have some situations where like, because I'm actually playing in the freaking snow. It just ruins the idea of the tournament. So what, you're going to do the opening ceremony wearing raincoats and four quotes. And I mean, come on, Brad. No. It's like, see Wenger is a really smart man but nah, bro. That's a poor idea.
You can pick where you want the World Cup to be. So you don't have to have it in a place that's snowing if you don't want to. Like, we're not picking Iceland to host the World Cup, even though they could host it if they wanted. You could pick Argentina. You could pick Brazil. You could pick, I don't know, South Africa. You could pick Australia. You could pick Indonesia, Philippines. You could pick any number of countries. Like, so let's not be Eurocentric in our way of looking like, yo, if you have it in November, there has to be snow. Like, no. Like, I think about this sometimes when I think about Christmas and how some people's idea of Christmas is like, oh, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Like, for some people, like, their Christmas is going to the beach and sunshine and having, like, December 25th is not some cold Arctic or Antarctic landscape. Like, no, like, some places there's good weather in December. It's just that you live in a place on the planet when it's December. So you, the FIFA can pick wherever they want this thing to be, basically.
Are you for a November World Cup then? You would be for a World Cup in November and December.
It depends where on the planet it is. If they pick Qatar, which they have, make sure it's in the winter there. That way, players aren't playing in 120 degrees where you could fry an egg on the sidewalk. Like, that's stupid. Or I'm not sure what the Celsius number would be, like 40 degrees Celsius or whatever it is. Like, that's insane. But if you pick, I think 2026 is going to be North America. So Mexico, Canada, United States. Make sure that the calendar's for the summer. Like, I think you can tailor each calendar depending on where you choose the tournament is going to be held. So I don't think that's too, especially if you give them 4 years. That's why my biggest critique for Wenger is don't make a World Cup every two years. Because part of the beauty of it is they don't happen often. Like, this is Messi's last chance. This is this player's last chance. Like, that's a benefit, I think, to the tournament. If you know it's going to, like, do you remember when there was a Copa America every year? It lessened or watered down what the Copa America was, at least in my opinion. Because it's just, you have one 2016, 17, 18, or whatever the
better luck was. Better luck next year.
I don't like that idea. Like, that's a club football kind of thing where there's always next year. The Champions League is always there. The Premier League, you can always spend your money and do what it is. I think it's cool. Just kind of like what we were talking about with Belgium, where people put the Euros on a pedestal. So European teams already get a chance every two years to win a major competition the way that we see it, because the Euros are the Euros, because again, there's that Eurocentrism that the Euros are the hardest international competition to win. That's how people view it. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I would say the Copa America is probably a little bit harder given the number of quality teams in South America. But if you're Portugal, if you're France, if you're Germany, you do get kind of a shot every 2 years to win something big for your country. I don't know why we would want World Cup 2022, World Cup 2024, World Cup 2026, World Cup 2028. Nah, there needs to be a gap. I like the idea of, you know how we talk about World Cup cycles? About like every 4 years, something new happens in the sport. And maybe in 2010, there was some, like, tiki-taka was a thing. And then by the time we get to 2014, we see the advent of what German football is up to. And that has bled into the kind of next 8 years, I would say, almost, of just like gegenpressing high-intensity football that maybe didn't – it existed in some spaces before the Germans really took hold. But it's not as common as it is now. I think I like that, to where there's, you know, kind of four-year blocks and you can kind of track the lineage or just the trajectory of how the sport is being played. If it's every 2 years, there's not enough time for new things to be kind of traced. That's my bigger issue. If you want to change the calendar, fine, but don't change it so you can do nonsense.
The four-year thing, I think, as you said again, is very key, because it shows 4 years is a long time in football, yeah. Which is why there's only been, I think, twice that a team has defended their World Cup, which is, I think, Italy back in the 30s mm-hmm. and Brazil 58 and 62. Because 4 years is such a long time between World Cups and so forth. So every time there's a World Cup edition, it's like, aha, this is a new stage. And also, the whole thing of less is more. You savor it more.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Right? Yeah. So whenever it says, ah, this is special, and therefore it's the importance of making sure you get it right as a boom. Because if you mess up, you have to now wait another 4 years before you can get back here again. So
I feel like that's just... One, it's a money grab from FIFA, because they understand the marketing and the branding of the World Cup. It's the biggest sporting competition in the world, single sporting competition. The Olympics is a bunch of sports put together, so it's obviously the biggest, and every country can come. But just single sporting competition, it's the World Cup. So they would want Coca-Cola to sponsor them, or McDonald's, or Visa, or Nike, or whoever it is. Come every 2 years with the bag instead of every 4 years. Like, I'm sure that's what they're thinking. So, you know, Wenger, I don't know what you're up to, man, with your little offside rules and...
I mean, his offside suggestion wasn't bad, but this one, nah, man, this one is class B, man. This one's
class B. All right, Damian Perez says, do you think it's a good or bad thing the international break happened for Barca? We've been on a hot form and just destroyed Sociedad, and now we get a 2 week break to rest up. So again, I was watching Serie A and Ligue 1, but I was seeing, you know, on the timeline whenever I checked, another goal, Dest scored, Dembele scored, this player scored, that player scored. So
6-1.
Coman's playing 3-5-2 or 3-4-3, I think. I'm seeing people who are Barca fans being like, yo, this is the best formation ever. he's getting the best. It's protecting the trash defenders that we've spoken about before. It's allowing Dest to kind of get forward. Messi is obviously Messi. Pulling strings is normal. So, yeah, but I didn't watch the game, nor did I watch highlights. So I'll maybe let Have Hope take over on that one. Like, is this a bad time for Barcelona to get an international break?
I don't think so, no. I think that it takes time. You know, new manager comes in, new ideas and so forth. It's going to take time. I think they've just finally understood what Koeman wants, and Koeman has understood where to place guys, how to position guys, and how to put guys where they can be most maximized. This is how I should use Messi. This is how I should use Griezmann. This is how I should use Ousmane Dembele and so forth. So even if the break happens, I think they will come back and just slot into, this is what Koeman wants for us. Because how they are set up isn't how they were set up in the first game of the season or the fifth game of the season or the tenth game of the season. So they've just, it has taken him time to figure out, okay, how best do I use these guys, which is not what that clown, Saint Etienne, was doing. He was just like, let me just, you know, bring back the pep thing that he then gets realized and colonized and fallopian tubed 8-2. So, they'll be fine. I don't think the break has come too early for them. They'll be all right.
Did you see that related to Barca, that earlier today Fabrizio Romano claimed that Neymar is signing an extension with PSG, which puts the kind of he's returning to Barcelona rumors back wherever they came from. And I think that Eric Abidal had an interview that was like, if Barcelona hadn't have signed Griezmann, or this is like a rough understanding, that if Barca hadn't signed Griezmann, or just like his contract or wages was just too big, that would have opened the door for Neymar last summer. But Griezmann's contract was just too much or too big, so there wasn't a way back. But yeah, according to, you know, the Italian journalists, Neymar's going to extend at PSG. Is that something you wanted to see?
Yes, because I think the perfect scenario is if you have the best players spread around. The worst thing is if you have all the best players just all in one team or all in three teams.
Because that's the beauty of PSG. I would like all the best players in one league, if that makes sense. And I guess that's the Champions League in some way.
Yeah, that's it. That's the Champions
but,
League.
But like, there was something maybe like, and obviously this was kind of slightly before my time, because by the time we hit 2000, I was 9 years old. So I didn't really get to experience like 90s Serie A in the way that it's spoken about. But the amount of just world-class talented players that were in Serie A between like 1985 through 2005, let's say, that's an incredible place to play your football, I think. Not that the other leagues didn't have incredible talent as well, but there's something about having like the Ronaldos of the world, or Seedorfs and Pirlos and all those Buffons and all those types of players that were there. Shevchenko, like the way, like a clear league where the best players are in this league, and this is where you go if you want to prove yourself. I don't know if that necessarily exists right now. Like, would you say there's one league where the best players are there?
Nope, there isn't.
I don't think so. Like, it's spread out, and maybe as you're saying, that's a good thing. And you can the Champions League is your way to get this league and that league and this player and that player together. But just thinking about it, I would love, like, 90s Serie A to be kind of the template. Like, yo, if you want to prove yourself, go to Milan. Go to Inter. Go to Juventus. Go to Roma, Napoli, Parma, whatever it was. So Neymar staying at PSG, it only means anything if they win a Champions League. Let's talk about Champions League. So PSG drew Bayern Munich.
Tough game, man. No, bro, like, I can't call it, man.
Neymar has to be fit for this game, number one. Or these series of games. And this is why you're here. So you're renewing your contract. I don't know. Maybe you love Paris. Maybe you like, you know, the team, the vibe, you know, whatever it is. Obviously, it's not official. But, you know, we'll just go with Fabrizio for right now. It's all contingent on you getting this chip. If you don't get the Champions League, then why are you here? To learn a new language? Try
Paris Chocolat? Paris like... is fine. Paris is all right. Paris is all right, man. Paris is all right.
Pain au chocolat? Is that what you want?
Pain au chocolat. Comme ça, mon ami.
You have no idea how this is going to go?
Without Neymar, Bayern win. Easy. With Neymar, we've got a very, very good game on our hands. Bayern will still have the edge. The defending champions are still playing very well. But I just think that PSG will be thinking about that final. You know, we saw that image of Neymar. Yeah. Wasn't that our avatar on our WhatsApp group?
I think so.
Yeah, that you put up of Neymar crying. So
which is
a very sick. I was like, man, this is a bit like morbid. Why would you want to do this?
It was so funny.
Yeah. I mean, damn, it's pretty depressing, bro. So my thing is, yeah, he's gonna be like super motivated to try to say what's up. And they will remember how they felt at that final. Because you ask any player, after they lose like a final, what do you want most? I want to face this team again right now.
Revenge.
Yeah, revenge. And revenge is a very powerful, powerful tool in sport. Very powerful. Very powerful. Like, that is why Holland did what they did to Spain at that 2014 World Cup opener. Because they're like, man, let's get ourselves at these guys again, man. Because we know we should have beaten them. And they should have beaten them. They know they should have beaten them. So,
yeah. I have no idea.
How do you call it?
I don't think you can. Not until let's see what the lineups are. Because there's no guarantee Neymar plays, is there?
For sure.
So let's just kind of hold our horses on that one. The winner of that game plays the winner of Dortmund and City. So City. I don't know why I said City like that. Dortmund and City. I like that matchup. I think it's obviously it favors Manchester City, but I don't think it's going to be too easy for them. And let's see how good that defense is. You know, they've been going against kind of Premier League attacks, and people have
Daniel, let's get it real. This is the most one-sided tie. Dortmund are not doing it. The attack will maybe say a few things. That defense is going to get Lara Croft. We know this.
I'm curious to see what Haaland can do against, you know, the Stones, Diaz, Walker system or setup.
I mean, he may get a G here and there, but it won't be enough to win the tie.
Oh, no. Like, so. City are in the semifinal. Let's just we can say that. But I want to see what it looks like, because people are telling me Haaland is this, Haaland is that. All right, let's see. You can score all the goals against Club Brugge you want to, but now you're up against a team who people are telling me is one of the best defensive teams that we've seen in the past 4 or 5 years. All right, let's see. Prove yourself. On the other side, we have Chelsea against Porto. I saw your reactions. You seemed quite happy, and then you realized I'm a jinx. So let me be not as happy.
I was never happy to begin with. I was just, oh, jeez.
Whenever Have Hope makes, whenever he does anything like that, he's happy. So yeah,
that's a lie. I do not co-sign the statement said by my co-host.
I mean, the reaction is on the Half Hope Football Hut. Go on YouTube, subscribe, you know. Have you seen what Porto are saying?
Yeah.
where they're talking with a bass in their voice. I mean, I guess if you knock out Juventus with 10 men, I understand how you can feel like, bring us anybody.
No. But from Porto's point of view, Chelsea were the next best thing to face.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think Dortmund were like the team you'd want.
100%. Like, you see, if Porto were given Dortmund, they beat Dortmund, I believe. Good game.
Chelsea were seventh on the list. Maybe Liverpool in the state that they're in, but I think Liverpool are a dangerous, wounded animal.
Mm.
So I don't think you'd want to play them.
No, I can
understand. We just beat Juventus. So Chelsea, it's not even in their mind. And perhaps they're right. I think Chelsea should advance, though. But you would have said the same about Juve. So Porto played very well, especially that last leg. It's in the extra time, especially. I was like, there's no way they're going to survive these 30 minutes. There's no way. And then they scored a free kick. And then I think, Rabiot scored immediately. And I was like, it's over. But no, they held on. So you underestimate them at your peril, I suppose. And last matchup, Liverpool and Madrid. Now, this is interesting. Now, is this more of a 50-50 to you than PSG-Bayern?
I believe this is.
Because for me, it seems that way.
Yeah, this is more 50-50. I still feel Bayern-PSG feels like 51-49 or 52-48. This feels 50-50 for me because it's like... Because, so it's so funny. What's it called? I was watching ESPN FC.
Watch that show a lot, man.
Bro, I love it. Like, basically, ESPN FC, I think, is absolutely decided. It is the best football show. It's not perfect, but it is the best football show because I think... It's similar to the kind of vibe I like because I just find the BT Sports guy a bit too boring.
Yeah.
And also, like, Ali Moreno is great. And he's, like, my favorite out of all of them. And he said that... Because he basically put it the best way. Because Liverpool will be like, Real Madrid? Okay. Real Liverpool? Okay, because you respect each other, but you can see flaws in each other.
Mm.
So you respect it's Real Madrid is Real Madrid. You know what it's about. But there's no Cristiano... These guys are much older than they once were, and they're very heavily reliant on Benzema. For Real Madrid, we know Liverpool are Liverpool. We know that this core have won this trophy before, but no Matip, no Van Dijk, no Gomez, makeshift defense, and they've been struggling a lot in the league. And they'll say, well, we feel that we have more firepower and more quality than Red Bull Leipzig. So, yeah, man, it makes us great.
I think all the matchups are good. Like, you have two former finals.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that element there. Then you have like the Mourinho or Andre Villas-Boas derby, whichever way you want to go. Oh, yeah, and Chelsea v Porto. And then City and Dortmund City. All right, cool. I saw a lot of people like, man, how come City always get easy draws, man? How come? But like they're going to have to play the winner, if they win, obviously, of PSG and Bayern Munich. So it's not as – it's easy maybe for the quarters, but that semifinal is not going to be easy, whoever they get. So Chelsea, I think, would have – they would feel the best about their overall path, I think. Because you avoid City, Bayern, and PSG until the final.
Boy, but you know what my theory is? I feel that this is a setup.
How so?
Chelsea. I just feel like it's a set. It's a Chelsea walking into a trap.
Oh, like Porto is the trap.
Mm.
Yeah, you should feel that way. Chelsea fans, like, I could. There should be slight trepidation. I don't.
But then when you now look at what people like Forward, Eddie, and people are saying, they these guys are already popping the bottles.
Oh,
already.
Semi-final.
Yeah. Bottles. Oh, they said. Oh, I'm hearing final.
I mean, look, if you think back to 2012, they beat Napoli in the round of 16. Then that quarterfinal was Benfica. And people were kind of like, nah, like it's a cakewalk. We're gonna beat Benfica easy. And then you get, like, I guess one of the favorites in Barcelona in the semi. I guess that could happen again if Madrid beat Liverpool, I'd say. Or whoever wins that quarterfinal. But yeah, people do look at the quarterfinals like, nah, that team's easy. We're gonna beat them. I wouldn't be so confident. If I had to make you pick a winner right now, based on form and based on the draw that they have, who would you pick out of the eight teams?
A winner?
Yeah. Like, we're at that stage where, like, the round of 16, I would say, is the last round where they're, like, clear, this team's going to win against that team. Now, obviously, there'll be an upset here or there, like Porto Juve. But that's the last round where you can definitely say, I know this team will win.
No.
Once we reach the final eight.
It gets real. This is where it gets real. This is where it
so
gets real. It gets
this,
real
for me, this is now where it becomes fun because we can't know. So if you look at the route each team would have to reach the final and who they might play, who would you say are your favorites based on how the season has gone? I would say Manchester City.
This could be Man City's, bro.
Because I trust you to beat Dortmund, and then whoever you get from the one that you have to play, that's your toughest test, probably.
Mm.
And if you beat them, whoever's on the other side, you'd feel comfortable playing.
But then what do you think about this notion that Real Madrid don't lose finals? So if Real Madrid managed to make it to a final...
There is the Zidane Juju element that I
and also what's
considered.
It called? Ramos,
yeah.
Carvajal, Casemiro, Modric, Cruz, Benzema. They've been here before four times, and they've been victorious four times.
It's true,
so, but obviously they had Cristiano. But still, just the fact of like, hey man, we know how to do this.
Yeah,
and in 2018 they did it without the help of Cristiano in that final. So
the fact that it's so 50-50 between Liverpool and then. Whoever wins Chelsea or Porto, I'm going to say Chelsea. If Chelsea play Madrid, I feel like that's another, it's not quite 50-50, but it's another close one. With City, I trust you're going to beat Dortmund. And then if you just get past whoever the next one is, Pep against Bayern would be pretty interesting, considering that history. Or you would have like another money derby at PSG and Man City. Who spent their way to win the thing faster? Actually, it was Chelsea. But yeah, I think Man City would be my favorites right now. But that's subject to change, especially, you know, if Haaland is who y'all say he is. Ends up scoring a hat trick or something.
Nah, Dortmund ain't doing shit, bro.
So what else is what's okay? We have
but also the Liverpool narrative, man. Yeah. What if Liverpool don't get top four, and they end up just winning this thing, which is
that's
similar to what Chelsea did in 2012.
Yeah, I was just about to say that Chelsea did that in 2012, where they got top four when they maybe didn't deserve it. Liverpool's carrot. We're not going to get there.
Did Chelsea finish sixth or fifth that season?
Sixth.
So then who? So Tottenham finished what, fourth?
Tottenham finished fourth, but
and then they failed to, and they weren't allowed in the Champions League.
Right.
Yeah.
That was rude.
So then what happens if Liverpool win it, Chelsea come fourth?
It doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen that way anymore.
Oh.
Because they allowed for the winner of the Europa League to advance to the Champions League, there is a rule that you can have five teams from the same league in the competition. So if Liverpool wins Champions League, they automatically qualify. And that would be the five teams, even if they finish outside of the top four. Now, so I'm not sure what would happen
if... what if Man United win the Champions, the Europa League? No, so what if Arsenal win the Europa League?
I'm not sure. I don't know if six teams from the same league can be in. And maybe that would mean that the fourth place team...
The fourth place team, yeah.
...would be out, which would be probably Chelsea or Leicester, depending. But yeah, I'm not sure. But six teams... You think they'd allow that? I don't think they would. No. But maybe they would have to. If Liverpool win the Champions League and Arsenal win the Europa League, but neither of them are in the top four of England, how then can we call the Premier League an overrated league? If teams who aren't even in your top four are capable of winning Europe's two biggest club cup competitions.
Because it's only one season and Pep Guardiola has already embarrassed this league. That's why we can still call it an overrated trash league.
Can you see the argument that people would make, though?
No.
Like, scrubs from your league are able to win Champions League and Europa League.
No, I can't see the argument, no.
You need to think about this just in the off chance that it happens, because people are going to come at you with it.
let them come. If you allow Pep to win another three trophies in England, man... League is trash.
What's been on your mind, man? We got like 10, 15 minutes we could kill. What's been a topic that people have been on you about this week?
Wait, did you hear the whole Slavia Prague thing? Actually, no. I can't do racism again, man. I can't.
Oh! No, Rangers?
Yes, it's boring. No, fine. Okay, what has been on my mind?
To act like you didn't say anything f***ed up while knowing that you had to cover your mouth. That doesn't wash for me.
I'm not doing this again. Like, it's a broken record. It is. Like, we've been here. I will feel like a fool actually talking about this again. This is like the 3 billionth time that this has happened. So I'm like, no. Like, because then I'm being an idiot if I'm like, well, you know, you did this and this. Look.
No, you don't have to be shocked, but it is worth mentioning that dude clearly said something that he knew he shouldn't have said. Otherwise, you wouldn't cover your mouth.
Look, man,
to stop people from seeing or hearing
those what you people said. they don't deserve a millisecond of my time. That's the key thing. They don't deserve a millisecond of my time. You see, Atletico Madrid.
I have no idea where this is going. Did you know that Diego Simeone makes like 800,000 a week?
He's the highest paid manager in Europe,
probably by like some distance. Like, yeah. I think I saw he's on 40 million a year or something like that, and Mourinho and I think Klopp are on like 17. So he makes like double what Klopp makes,
which is super odd.
I think he makes almost double what Pep makes. I think Pep's around 20.
Because this is almost like...
We're not hating, by the way. Make your money, Diego.
Well, I'm semi-hating, man. Give me some of that cash, bro. So my thing here is that, look...
If that's the money in management, Half Hope, I know I'm cutting you again. But if that's the money that's in management, I think we need to consider doing our UEFA badges. Just on the off chance that we're good at this.
Loss is very dangerous. it's a very dangerous thing. And you know, like... There are times when, you know, being loyal is good and can be helpful. But I would say too much of anything is bad. If you're too nice, that's a bad thing. You can be too nice. You can be too giving.
Does money count?
What do you mean by that? How do you mean?
Is too much money a bad thing?
Yes, 100%. Because it just fuck your mind up. So for Atletico Madrid, they just view this guy as this amazing dude who is the best that they've ever had. And here's the thing. Shout out to Drake. Best they've ever had. How do you know this is the best you can be when you've not tried something else. Like that scrap of like, oh, love at first sight. This was my own true love. No one will ever be the same. Well, go to travel, go to other places. I'm pretty sure you'll find another woman just as good, perhaps even better. There is no such thing as the only one. So for Atletico Madrid, how do you know that if you brought in Mauricio Sarri, changes the entire culture and the way these guys play, that you suddenly now actually plug the gap between yourselves and Barcelona and Real Madrid and manage to say what's up? Because if Atletico bottle this league, which I believe they will, with... We watch football since like the early mid-90s. This is the worst Barcelona side I've ever seen in my life. So the Romario era, Ronaldo era, Rivaldo, Dino, this is the worst Barcelona side I've ever seen, 100%. And this Real Madrid side, I think are one of the weakest. They're not bad, but compared to previous Real Madrid sides, they're one of the weakest. So you were pretty much giving this title on a plate. 11 points clear. You had 2 games in hand. You pretty much had it on a plate, you know. So if you end up still not winning this, it will be such psychological damage to these guys. And it then begs the question, why are you afraid of doing what I believe needs to be done, which is that Simeone, you've done great. Give us a league in 2014. Give us, I believe, 2 Europa Leagues and then so forth. 2 Champions League final appearances. But we spent $120 million on João Félix, who, from what I can see, gets a 83% on the eye test. So he's passed the eye test with flying colors. And I think he's definitely one of the best young players out there. He spent $120 million on him. Shouldn't you? And it's obvious what is happening. He doesn't fit well or flourish in this system. And I always say that if it's between the player and the manager, you always choose the player, specifically if it's the superstar. Why don't you do what needs to be done? Simeone, thanks. We're not going to create a manager to now build this team around homeboy. But Atletico suffer from acute LS. And what is LS? Loser syndrome.
Pause. There's already a disease called ALS. I don't think you can use it.
LS.
You said acute LA.
Oh, no. I just added that in. So, okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, deep LS, whatever. But it's called LS. It's called okay. LS, loser syndrome. So, loser syndrome is you have no ambition. You are sentiment merchants. And you're all about loyalty, faith, will always back you without actually making huge leaps. And Atletico Madrid suffer deeply from LS, loser syndrome.
Is there another club you would say has this? Or is this just an Atletico issue? Tottenham, maybe? Dortmund, maybe?
Dortmund, no. Because Dortmund, your Bayern Munich pretty much ripped all their players from you and so forth. What could you do? But you can see Dortmund...
Napoli, maybe?
They're still trying... No. I think for me, you could argue Tottenham suffer from LS. Tottenham are not anything that suffer from LS. Arsenal, no. LS. No. But Atletico, but they're the main guys. They have it the worst.
Yes.
Like, I think Tottenham have it mild. They got it in...
I have my own syndrome, by the way, which I think is proven correct. It's called Golden Badge Syndrome, GPS.
What the heck is GPS? Okay, wait. Let me just finish with my LS. So for Atletico Madrid, because they suffer so much from LS, it's going... These guys are going to stick with dude. And the sick thing is, you are actually going to choose him over Felix.
Yeah.
And Felix, which psychopath told you to sign a 7-year contract? Which psychopath told you to sign a 7-year contract with a $350 million release clause?
His agent probably... Yo, he...
Who is this clown?
You got him to sign for 7 years? Atletico's paying that guy right now. it's one of those, I thought I saw a meme earlier. It was like a a death contract or something, and it had like Felix, Wilfred Zaha,
Jack, yeah, that guy from Bilbao, I think.
Jack Grealish, Iñaki Williams. Mm. I think Saul, or maybe Koke has one of those that's like 8-9 years as well. So I don't know, man. Atletico's a weird club. I am intrigued by LS, though. That's funny. Where was I going to go?
So wait. What is GBS? Golden Badge Syndrome?
Yeah, Golden Badge. It's like once you get the Golden Badges, something bad happens to the club. So I came up with this when Chelsea were having their trouble in 2015, like after the Mourinho season. The club thought that because they were Premier League winners, and you know when you win the Premier League, you get golden badges with like the Premier League on it. So that's what I called it. But, you know, the club was like, you know, we're not going to spend any money. You just won the league by like 10, 11 points, whatever it was. We'll give you Pedro. We'll give you Papi Gilaboji. We'll give you Michael Hector. We'll give you whoever those players were. But we're not going to spend the money on Pogba because the club gets brainwashed into thinking that they're good. But you're not good because everybody else is improving around you, but you decide to just stand pat and you'll get caught. And that's what happened with Mourinho. That's what's happening with... It happened to Leicester after they won. That's why Ranieri had to leave. It happened with Conte after he won. It's happening this season with Jurgen Klopp. It's golden badge syndrome. They have the golden badges on their shoulder, but the club gets brainwashed into thinking we're good and they don't improve as much as they need to. That's my syndrome. I think LS is more interesting, though. Did you see what happened with Juve and Benevento?
The guy that scored is called Adolfo.
Gouch?
His first name is Adolfo.
Check this. I didn't fact check this, but somebody will fact check. He's from Argentina and he's of German descent. Now, you know what that means? Perhaps that his parents or grandparents were with the whole...
Yeah, keeping Nazis.
And Hitler thing. And a place where a lot of former Nazis went was Argentina. Yeah. So, because nobody names their child Adolf anymore. I think it might be a Gervais joke, but it's something I observed also. That name's just kind of gone away. Like, you don't name your kid Adolf. You don't name your kid Judas. Like, those names, we don't use those names. Just because, nah. So to be Adolfo, like, your parents are trying to be slick, add a little O there. But we know what this is. So, yeah, they lost to a dude named Adolfo.
Until Inter Milan lifts up that trophy, I'm still going with 10 in a row. So
they're stumbling at the finish line, man. It's like... You know when Usain Bolt in the 2008 Olympics was running his 100 meters? Let's make every 10 meters a title. So they run out of the blocks 10 meters, 20 meters, 30 meters, 40 meters, 50 meters, 60 meters, 70 meters, 80 meters, 90 meters. You got 10 meters left. The decision for Pirlo is like Bolt deciding, I'm going to try to run backwards because I'm just stunting on you guys. I'm ahead by however much. And then the last 10 meters, they just stumble and, I don't know, he just breaks his knee or whatever the case is. Like, we are so close to 10 in a row. We wanted 10 in a row. When did we start this thing? 2016? I got to look at, like, the logo. Yeah, 2016. We've been calling for 10 in a row for, like, 4 or 5 years now. We got so close. Sorry could ruin this.
We can
for
still
us.
Get there. We can still get there because don't Bayern. Count out Inter, but because like, I think there are 11 games to go. Don't count out Inter.
Bayern is our next chance. Okay? It's gone.
No. It ain't over until it's over, bro.
They were like 2 steps away. All you had to do is not fuck it up, and they fucked it up, man. Anyway. What else happened? Yeah, I watched PSG Lyon. Can I just say Mbappe looks really good? He's very fast, by the way. I know that's not news, but every time I watch him, boy. I'm like, okay, he hit the ball ahead of, like, I think the Lyon would have been right back. He knocks it ahead of him. I'm like, okay, he can't go any faster than what he's running. And then you just wait just a little bit, and he goes faster. It's like, no, he can't run fast. Oh, he can run faster. Oh, okay. And then he put in a cross, and Moise Kean, he didn't convert the chance. But I was just like, wow. Like, I guess Mbappe's not scared of his hamstring anymore because he's running quite quick. Neymar came on for the last little bit, looked okay. Leon, I'm disappointed in Leon, man. I was watching the game, I was hoping, like, okay, this is going to be the time I watch Leon and they actually win.
But why were you disappointed though? Were you expecting?
Yeah, I was expecting a good game, but it wasn't. It was like 4-1 after, it was 4-0, then it went to 4-1, 4-2.
If PSG decides to show up,
yeah,
they'll beat the crap out of anybody to find. Like, they just sense where they just don't need to.
Have you seen the kits that PSG wore? These things were disgusting. I don't know. You can't just put a Jordan logo on things and expect it to look nice. Like, you can't trick me anymore with Jordan. Like, you, when I was 16, 17, you could put anything with the Jordan logo.
They still have the Jordan logo.
It depends on the kit they use. Some have Nike, some have Jordan, but. When I was like 16, 17, 18, you put a Jordan logo on anything, you could get me to buy it because Michael Jordan was, you know, God, small g. Not anymore. I don't know what that was that they had on. It was like pink, purple, tie-dye type print. I don't know what that was. But they put a Jordan logo. Nah, chill. What else? Spurs. Did we talk about Spurs losing to... their manager was in prison. What team was this?
Dinamo Zagreb. Look, the jokes that have flown have just been like he was calling collect, that he was doing tactics from his last phone call in jail, because I think they allowed one phone call and stuff.
So look, it's man, Uncle Moo went outside, man. He had like You know it's bad for Mourinho when the reporter asks him one question and he goes on like a 7-8 minute just soliloquy, and that's what happened. So, yeah, it wasn't good. What else happened this week? Arsenal came back from 3-0 down, got a draw, which makes the top four race a little bit tighter because West Ham are playing a factor now that they otherwise wouldn't have been. FA Cup. Manchester United were knocked out of the FA Cup by Leicester. Kelechi Iheanacho for the last 5 minutes. What did you think? He's scoring goals for fun now. Like, what's going on? It might be like 5 goals in 7 games, or no. I don't know what the numbers are, but he's scoring freely.
It's like when I first saw him, when I first saw Iheanacho in the under-17 World Cup.
Did you guys hear the pronunciation? Like, did you guys hear? Like, Iheanacho is the Americanization, but half of Iheanacho.
Yeah, you know, give you that authenticity. I was like, yeah, this is Nigeria's next big thing. It's been a while since Nigeria have had this young starlet, you know.
Yeah.
But then, hence why I was like, look, if he's at City and Pep has earmarked him, he has to have something, obviously, because why would City want to get him? Didn't really happen for him at Man City or so forth. Many years, yeah. And then I questioned when he went to Leicester City. Like, okay, to go from City to Leicester, it's a massive step down, you know. Didn't do too well at the World Cup. Didn't do too well at Nations Cups. I was like, all right, that's it. You know, he's done for. And I just assumed he was 28, 29. Because I just lost concept of time. So when he just went to this ground, I was like, okay, it's cool, but hey, you've already wasted your career. So, he's 24? But then it makes sense because he was at the under-17 World Cup. So obviously when he was at City, he was like 18, 19, 20. He was super young. So it's great. It's great because I think so you have to credit himself because he is the guy doing it and he's the guy in training.
Yep.
And figuring out, okay, this doesn't work. This is what I need to work on and so forth. You know, are you listening, Balotelli? And Rodgers, obviously, because for me, Rodgers is a very, very good coach because that Leicester team, man for man, aren't great. They aren't great. And for me, they are overachieving. You know, that isn't a top four team based man for man. No. So he's overachieving with them. And yeah, like, it's great to see that the guy is just like he is slowly fulfilling the potential that he sort of promised at the Under 17 World Cup.
I feel like I wanted to talk about something and then I forgot what I wanted to talk about. Two things, very quick. Zlatan coming out of retirement to play for Sweden.
Stupid.
Fair enough. That's all I wanted to hear. And your thoughts on Karim Benzema's form at the moment? Because we had the discussion last week or 2 weeks ago about me putting him two.
This one
imagine if he wins a Champions League without Cristiano Ronaldo.
This is what needs to happen. This is what needs to happen.
Would you then put him on a level?
This is what needs to happen. Somebody needs to pick up the phone. Whether Didi is the first to pick up the phone or whether it's Karim, somebody needs to just pick up the phone and just talk. Because for me, I was like, because again, I was watching ESPN FC again, and then Julien Laurent was saying that, nope, there is no chance. No chance. As long as Deschamps is manager, there's no chance that he's going to play for France ever again. So I was like, okay, what is this thing? Because this has to be more than just the Valbuena thing. Then obviously, it was the interview where Benzema said that Deschamps has fallen victim to racist sections of France.
Mm-hmm.
And giving it to them. And Deschamps said that, you know, once he said that, my family was threatened, my name was sold, and so forth. And so I will never, ever forget that. So I can understand. But pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. Maybe Benzema should pick up the phone, which he'll never do. But pick up the phone and just air it out, talk about it. And because you see, it's not about the Valbuena thing, no. It's about that.
It's
pride. That's what it's about. It's about
pride. It's about two men and their pride at this point. But
so that's the thing,
he's
man.
Doing all this balling just for you to pick Giroud. I've never understood that. Not that Giroud doesn't have his place, but whenever I see Giroud starting in the France team, I'm just like, ugh. Because you know how much better football they could play if you put Benzema in the heart of that attack? Him combining with Mbappe and Griezmann and Dembele and just all the midfield. Pogba and Benzema link. Like, the football that they could play is just so much better than whenever it's Giroud or Martial or whoever they decide to play. You know, Martial has one goal for France ever, like, in life? Senior team. I'm sure he did bits, like, you know, in under 21, 23, whatever. One goal. I think he has 25 caps. One goal. It's sad. It's sad. It's one of the most annoying things about international football for me is Karim Benzema. But he's a baller for Madrid. So if he can get them past Liverpool, if he can get them past Chelsea.
He's one of the best players in the world, man.
Look, if Benzema gets Madrid just to a final, I think I'll accept that as like an accomplishment. And not that it's just him doing it because they have a great team or pieces of what was once a great team. I'm not going to say Modric was the same level he was 3 years ago or Casemiro or Kroos, etc. But, you know, if he's the person scoring the goals and you get to that position without Cristiano, that's a credit to you. Obviously, I know people say, it doesn't matter if you don't win, but to me, it does. This has been the Talking Tactics podcast. We do this podcast every Tuesday. We thank you guys for listening. Much, much appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you.
Share the podcast. I forget to say this all the time, but you know, if you like what you hear, share the podcast.
I hear sirens in the background.
We got a jet. The Talking Tactics podcast. We'll see you guys next Tuesday. Sometimes funny, sometimes serious.
Always for the ball. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.